You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you save and restore your marriage no matter where you're coming from. You might be at the beginning of the relationship and you just want to avoid the mistakes, or you might be kind of at that place where you realize that if you don't do something, everything's going to fall apart. Today, I want to talk about how that happens, how we go from the shakeup to the makeup, how we move through the process of saving a marriage. And I'm going to talk about it through these stages, because as you listen, what you're going to discover is what stage you're in. And this is kind of not my the piece of how I talk about the different stages as a diagnostic tool in my Save the Marriage system. This is about where you are, where you're in the process, not so much where the relationship is, although it has some pieces of the relationship. This is about where you are in the process. And it goes from stage to stage. So as you're listening, you're going to go, oh, that's the stage where I am. Now I know what I need to do. Now I know what the next step is going to be, and I know what to look for. Now, let me just kind of remind you that these are the stages. That doesn't mean you're going to move from the stage of shakeup to makeup. There are lots of places where we can make an error and where everything can get into trouble. So this is a way of telling you what the progression could be and what it typically looks like, and some of the errors along the way, some of the mistakes people make along the way, how you get stuck, how you really find yourself bogged down, and what to do next. And that's the important thing, is how do we get you moving towards that next stage? So let's start with what happens at the beginning. The beginning is the shakeup. And the shakeup is really where you get a shakeup. You know, you're surprised that something is going wrong. And a spouse comes to you and says, you know what? I'm not happy here. This isn't working out. This isn't what I expected. I don't love you anymore. I'm not in love with you. I love you, but I'm not in love. All those different phrases are the ones that really kind of shake you up. Generally, when this first happens, people do a couple of things. One is they ignore it. They act like it's going to go away, and it's just a bad mood of the spouse. Maybe the spouse is having hormonal problems, or maybe there's something else going on over there, but that spouse is just really, something's going on. And so we discount it. You ignore this little cry of help. And that's probably the biggest thing I would say, is at this point, even though the spouse might feel like they don't know what's going on, it's a cry of help to say, hey, our relationship is in trouble. Aren't you seeing it? And a lot of times people just, all they hear is, this isn't working out, and they get caught up into that and they go into panic mode. So oftentimes the first step is to ignore it. Sometimes we then discount it, act like nothing's happened. And maybe if I ignore it, it'll just go away. Or maybe if I say, hey, you know what? This is your problem. This isn't my problem. This is something going on with you. Or we say, yeah, we've had some problems here along the way, but it's no big deal. Nothing that won't work its way out. Or we avoid it. So instead of continuing the conversation, we just kind of change the subject. And so the spouse says, you know what? This isn't working. We say, hey, why don't we go away for the weekend? Or, hey, I was wondering if we needed to go do the kids' soccer tournament or something like that. It's kind of a complete avoidance of the real topic at hand. Or another mistake, talking about it incessantly. That's the shakeup. You just think, if you just talk it through, and here's what's going on at that point of talking it through. You feel like if you can just get your logic on the table, your spouse will go, oh, you're right. I see that. We're not so bad off. We can move on. Everything's okay. And your spouse is believing the same thing, that if they talk long enough, you're going to finally see how bad things are. And so you're just talking past each other. And so sometimes couples ignore it completely. Sometimes somebody will discount that there's an issue. Sometimes they avoid the conversation, and other times they talk it to death, hoping that they're going to somehow convince their spouse that they're wrong. But two people trying to convince the other that they're wrong rarely gets anywhere. So then what happens at the next stage? Well, that's the wake up. So we go from shake up to wake up, because when you wake up, you realize that there really is a problem. Unfortunately, usually we wake up because there's a legal threat. Hey, I'm going to file for divorce or I'm going to file for separation. Or there is even a separation threat. I'm moving out. You need to move out. I've got a place. You need to get a place. Those kinds of words. Sometimes it's because you discover an affair. Maybe at some point in the past, you heard we're in trouble, you didn't do anything, and now it's in front of your face that there is somebody else. You see it on Facebook, you see a text message, you find a note left, you find some lingerie that you know wasn't around for you, or some other undergarments that weren't intended for you. Suddenly, the spouse is taking care of themselves, and you're not a part of that process. Sometimes that's because there is somebody else that's caught their eye because they didn't get what they needed in the shakeup. So what happens next? Well, fear. Waking up is scary. It's like having that big alarm right beside your ear that goes off in the morning. And instead of kind of calmly waking into the morning, you're jolted awake. You're jolted wide awake from a deep sleep. And that deep sleep is what was going on before. You didn't notice the signs. And so suddenly the alarm's going off. The adrenaline is rushing through you. You're wide awake, but you're wide awake full of fear and full of adrenaline. And then along comes these feelings of desperation where you just feel like you got to do something, but you don't know what to do. That's the desperation fear. Or you have that great fear that something is just going to fall apart, that there's nothing you can do about this, and you just have the sense of fear or even depression where you feel kind of hopeless. You just don't know how to get the message across. And so you begin to feel the depression or the anxiety. And anxiety is often about what's coming down the road. Depression may be about what happened back there, how you could have averted this had you just kind of listened, or you could have averted it had you done some different things in the beginning or not done some things in the beginning. And then the anxiety is about what's going to happen down the road. And all of these feelings swirl around you. You know something is wrong, but you're not sure what to do. The thing is, you can no longer pretend that this can be ignored. You're wide awake, but not sure what to do. It's kind of like that alarm's gone off. You've hit it, you've turned it off, and you're in bed shaking in your skin from the adrenaline rush that's come your way. So then you can have a chance to do something else. Well, unfortunately, a lot of people jump into this next stage, which I call step up. When you step up, you know, you wake up and then you step up, and step up is all about action. There's lots and lots of doing. You might do all of the housework to try to win your spouse over, or maybe you're giving them cards and presents and taking them on trips and giving them jewelry and new cars and trying to upgrade the house and do all of these things that are just lots of stuff. And then you talk. This is, again, where we get into what I call the relationship talk. Whenever people are having the relationship talk, and I put the in capital letters, the relationship talk, the penultimate talk where you're finally going to get that person to see why they shouldn't be doing this, we talk. And when you're having a relationship talk, you're no longer relating. You can either talk about your relationship or you can relate, but rarely do we do the same at the same time, because the relationship talk is about trying to convince. You're no longer about connecting, you're about convincing. And that's a very different way of relating in a conversation. And we chase. I talked about this a few weeks ago about the tendency we have of just kind of chasing after a spouse and invading the emotional space because your emotional space is hurting. You're needing something. And so you're chasing after a spouse. And in the meantime, the spouse who's feeling that disconnection is fleeing, trying to get away from that place of chase. And so you got to be very careful at this point that you don't want to be having the relationship talk, and you don't want to be chasing, and chasing them right out the door, further away from you. Also, it doesn't help usually to do all of the housework or really to do all of the anything. You end up kind of going into over-functioning phase. I talk about that in the Save the Marriage system, where you end up over-functioning and the other person is then under-functioning. And sometimes that pattern is a reversal of what it's been. But doing all of these things doesn't do anything to restore the stability of the relationship. What you end up doing usually at this point is going from approach to approach. You try this approach, then that approach, and on it goes. Reverse psychology, and then I'll work on the connection, then I'm going to work on this other theory, and maybe I'll get a fortune teller, and I'll get someone to cast a spell. I mean, all of these approaches are out there, and everybody begins to desperately grasp at them. But the problem is, they do one after another. And so there's no consistency. There's no logic to it. And all it feels like to the other person is there's this schizophrenic attempt to approach this in a way that makes no sense to the other person. And that's where we have the problem. Now, sometimes this approach, you get a little traction in this. It might be that you get lucky. It might be that you find the right piece and you're doing some of the things and your spouse is going, wow, you're changing. Because usually at this phase, you're saying, hey, I'm changing. I want to be different. I understand that I haven't been doing this right. So look at me. Look how I'm changing. And sometimes your spouse will think that maybe you really are. Maybe they got your attention. Maybe this time is different than those other times because you're really going to change. Here's the problem. That often is short-lived. Not only that, but sometimes you do the wrong things at this point, and the spouse often pulls further away. Chasing, chasing, chasing rarely does any good. It chases the spouse further away. Talking, talking, talking rarely does any good. It only has the spouse convince themselves of the need to really get away. And so this approach after approach and trying the talks and trying to do all the housework and proclaiming how you're changing, it looks like something's changing, but all you're doing is action. All the success you have is going to be short-lived for two very important reasons. You didn't really change, and the relationship really didn't change. You put a new paint coat on something, and it looks a little better for a while, but you know, it's kind of like putting a paint coat on a broken-down wall or putting a little spackle in the cracks in the foundation, hoping that nothing's going to keep shifting. Rarely is that the case. Once the foundations have begun to crack, then you're in trouble for a while, and you want to make sure that that's not what you're doing at this stage. You don't want to be playing at change. So what happens next? Well, if you realize that the stepping up is really not genuine change, and you realize that you got to move to that next point, the next point, the next phase is to show up, to really show up. This is when you really get to that place of honesty. Now, understand that the other stages, the other phases, that's a pretty normal place to be. The question is, are you going to grow beyond it? Are you going to realize that doing every approach and trying to do everything and not really changing yourself or the relationship isn't going to last? So then you decide you got to do something else. Some people don't ever get to this point because they keep pretending like they're stepping up. They keep pretending like something's changed when nothing really has. But if you show up, you're giving yourself an honest, open self-assessment. This isn't about your spouse assessing you. This is about you looking and saying, where have you fallen short? Where are the places where you stopped growing? Maybe the relationship didn't have the backbone it needed. Maybe you took a lot of things for granted. You started letting things slide and you just didn't grow yourself or the relationship. And so at that point, if you really are honest with yourself, you begin to see the places that have to change. And you realize that you've got to truly show up. I love that term, to show up, to not just be present, not just have your body there, but to truly show up, to take responsibility for your life, to be able to respond differently, not just reacting, not just running in panic mode, not just in desperation, but taking responsibility for your life and becoming truly present, not living in the past, not living in the fears of the future, not just kind of glossing over and avoiding your spouse, not burying your head in an iPhone or a tablet or the newspaper or the TV or online games or video games or anything else, but really showing up, becoming truly present. When you're with that spouse, your attention is on that to make sure that you're doing that. And you start growing. You start realizing that you've stagnated because we all do. So you look at the places and you say, I've got to grow myself more. I've got to develop myself. I've got to grow into who I need to be. And you start working on the connection, building that connection with your spouse. And then you begin to discover that there's a new direction for your relationship that you probably didn't even know existed. Nobody told you this. And so you have to discover this along the way. And then you make permanent changes, not just the new veneer, but permanent changes, both in you and the relationship. If that happens, then you have the opportunity to move to the next phase. And the next phase is making up. That's the great phase, to make up, which is a renewal of the commitment to the relationship, because you realize that that commitment is going to guide you through everything that's coming your way. Life doesn't get easier. It has more complications. And so to have a commitment that you're going to work through them establishes that there's a new direction. And then you have a growing connection with each other, that you find ways of being warmer with each other and of really finding some ways of having genuine intimacy, not pretending it intimacy, but having genuine intimacy. Then you grow yourself. You find ways of being productive with conflict. This is not about a lack of conflict. It's not like conflict goes away forever. But you decide to make conflict work for you, that you find ways of working through it so that conflict is really doing it together, finding a better path together. You support each other. You're on each other's side. You feel like you're on the same team. You both know that you both have each other's back. You become the number one fan for each other. You find ways of truly connecting so that each of you feels fully supported by the other. And when you do that, then you begin to recognize that there's more to it than just the two of you, that there's a place of being something else, because you've placed a priority on the relationship, that you're going to protect that relationship no matter what's going on in the house, no matter what's going on outside. If there's a crisis, you come together. You stand together through that crisis, and you support each other through whatever life throws your way, because you have a growing sense of being a we, a team, a unit. And as you do that, you've mastered the skills of that new path. That's the new path. Saying we're going to grow as individuals, we're going to connect to each other, and we're going to create a whole new path for each other. Now, if you're ready to make that place, if you're at that place where you're going, you know what? I've got the wake-up call. Maybe I've got the shake-up right now, and I've realized in that shake-up, I can't let it go to the next stage. But you might be at the place where you're going, wow, I'm wide awake, and I am scared, and I've been doing that step-up where I've been running from thing to thing and trying thing after thing. If you've done that, and you're ready to show up, and you're ready to find a path to make up, let me invite you to grab my Save the Marriage system. That's the whole plan, is how to get to the place of that makeup. You can find it by going to savethemarriage.com and grabbing it right there. And if you still need help, we have the virtual coaching program that will help you take the information and tailor it to your specific situation, to get feedback, to get help with that, and move forward with the process. Don't just begin that process of stepping up that's unproductive. Truly show up and get to the place where you make up. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.